If God came to you one night and said, "Ask me for anything, and I'll give it to you in abundance," what would you say?
Money!
Money, that's my job, Brenda the bank clerk. You get all sorts in here. Last week it was this gorgeous rich guy called Solomon. Apparently, and this is just between you and me, before he came into all his money, he had this dream. God, yes, God was telling him he could have anything he wanted. And you know what he asked for? Wisdom. Wisdom! I would have asked for more money!
Yes, Brenda, the bank clerk probably speaks for a lot of people. Thanks to GRF Christian Radio for that. This is family.ie. I'm Ronan Johnston, and you're very welcome along for the first in our four-part series of programmes called Focus on Finances. Here's Stephen Cardy.
The unfortunate fact is that over 70% of people who divorce or whose relationships break down say that money was a major factor in the fact that they got there. And if we don't get our handling of money into proper order and our heart in relation to money right, then we get into trouble.
You don't have to know much about celebrities to know that more money does not mean more happiness. But on the other hand, money isn't the root of all evil either. Stephen Carty and Heather Walsh were joined by Anna Daly of Life FM to discuss various aspects of money. And over the course of these programmes, they'll talk about assessment, debt, budgeting, lifestyle. And they begin the discussion today talking about attitude. Here's Stephen.
I was surprised to learn that of all the topics that Jesus spoke about, money was the one that he spoke about most of all. And the reason he spoke about this topic more than any other topic is because it does influence every other aspect of our life. And it also goes to the heart of, in a sense, maybe somehow what really is at the core of our values and our perspective on ourselves and our perspective on life and what we think, you know, God has in store for us, etc. And it's true, and this is true, Heather, isn't it, that God really wants us to live a contented life, a meaningful life, a worthwhile life, and not one that's driven by money. Isn't that correct?
That's exactly right. And I think over the Celtic Tiger years here, people have kind of got this laissez-faire attitude to money that you're sure, it doesn't matter, there'll always be more, I can spend, I can enjoy. There's always more, there's no shortage. And that's one way of not worrying about money, but that's not God's idea of managing and being contented with our financial situation or our life generally. That's kind of like, well, sure, it's always there. We know that money is not always there. We've all discovered it and suddenly it's gone. And God's talking about a contentment in life that is contented whether you have or whether you haven't, because our contentment is in Him, not based on what we've got. But money is a reality in our lives. And as Stephen's just said, Jesus spoke about it an awful lot. So he's not averse to the fact that we have to deal with money. He's acutely aware of that. And so he has given us some strategies in his word that helps us to look at money in a way that can bring us into contentment, regardless of whether we have it or we haven't. But just in an attitude that says, whatever I have, I will manage. And by the grace of God, I will be able to be content because my security is in God and not in my money.
And I think, Stephen, you know, it is a time when people are starting to question the value of money and the role that it should play in their lives.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose a key thing really, and probably worth quoting right at the very beginning, is this comment that Solomon, who was the wisest man ever to live, he said this: whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. He said, this too is meaningless. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that, you know, if our pursuit in life is of money and wealth, we will never have enough. We'll never be satisfied. We always want more. I was reading in Rob Parson's book, The Money Secret, which we'll be talking about a little bit during the course of these programs, about some research that was done where people were being interviewed where they had been at a program run by their association maybe 10 years earlier, and incomes had increased and improved over the years, and their incomes had more than doubled in the 10 years that had gone by. And they were asked that had they been looking at their income 10 years ago, let's call it into the year 2000, and said that in 2010 they'd be earning their current incomes, would they be happy with their 2010 incomes? And they all put their hands up and said, yes, we'd be delighted. And then they were asked, well, are you now presently happy with your income that you currently have? And all of them said, no, we weren't, because The reality is that much wants more. And the more we get, the more we seem to pursue it. And it does not satisfy. And Ron Blue, who's a very famous author and written many books, including The Master Your Own Money, you know, this comes back to the heart and where the heart is at. And, you know, if we're content in ourselves, that makes a big difference. And he describes contentment as looking back without regret, looking at the present without envy, and looking to the future without fear. And that's important because the lifestyle we have is probably a 2006 lifestyle in Ireland now. And it may depreciate slightly from here in the next year or two. But in 2006, we were very happy with it. And, you know, it's not so bad at all, really. And we ought to learn to be content with what we have and live within our means. What is the difficulty, really, Anna, for a lot of us, including this has happened to me, is that we have aspirations beyond our current income. And therefore, we're not content with what we've got. And we aspire to more than we have, and we end up in trouble. In Proverbs 23, it says, don't wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off the sky like an eagle. I mean, if that's what Solomon is saying about riches, and I mean, he accumulated more wealth than any other man has probably ever done. You know, he's saying, look, riches doesn't bring, and wealth doesn't bring contentment, because contentment is to do with the heart. And the Lord wants us to have our trust in him and not in our riches, because if our trust is in our riches and if we're pursuing money and wealth, we're going to end up disappointed, because it will, you know, Ireland is full of stories that illustrate that point.
No doubt we've all heard many of those stories, and we might have some of our own. You're listening to family.ie, and if you've just tuned in, we're just getting started in our four-part series, Focus on Finances. There's a lot more practical advice on the way, so I hope you'll keep it tuned right here for more. We hope you're enjoying the discussion so far, and we invite you to send a comment by text. Our text comment line is 086-251-6886. That's 086-251-6886. And if you have any questions or comments at any time for which you need a reply, feel free to email us, radio@family.ie. That's radio@family.ie. Stay with us for more as we focus on finances on today's edition of family.ie. It's been said that one of the most common prayers is, Lord, let me prove to you that winning the lottery won't spoil me. But is more money really the answer to all of our problems? Welcome once again to family.ie. This is the first of our four-part series called Focus on Finances. And now back to today's discussion with Stephen, Heather and Anna.
There are many people today who have discovered that when they had money, they still didn't have that contentment, quite possibly. And maybe it was a time as well, Heather, that when we came through a time of seeming to have a lot of money at our, you know, to spend at our will, really, that we left out the whole area of looking for good financially wise counsel, and indeed maybe had forgotten, put aside what the Bible had to say on wise counsel on dealing with money.
Well, absolutely. And everybody thinks they manage their own money better than anybody else could. And you've always heard the story, well, sure, if I won the lottery, it wouldn't change me. I'd be well able to manage all the millions. And the truth is that we weren't able to manage all our millions. Our country wasn't even able to manage all its millions. And as a result, the money has taken to the sky like the eagle. And I just love that verse. I think it's so brilliant that wealth just flies off like an eagle in the sky, or a bird, or whatever it was. And that's what's happened in this country. And that's what's happening in people's own lives. We all think we can do it better ourselves. But our Bible and our great God has given us wise counsel. And why would we not listen to it and use it? It's because our minds and ourselves are so puffed up with our own self-importance that we think we know better. So this year might be a good year to step back and think, hang on a minute, Ireland hasn't done so well with its money. I haven't done so well with my money. Maybe I need to stop and look at something else. The Bible says a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. Now, this is, you know, from the Book of Proverbs. People all over the world talk about old proverbs, but sometimes they miss out these particular ones, which are very helpful and come from men of God. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. If we stop talking for a while and listen, we might hear some good, wise counsel. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. So I would encourage people, start listening. You can listen to the Lord in your own living room. You can say, Lord, just help me to find the right way through with my money this year. Mm-hmm. And I think I could probably put a guarantee here that anyone that sends up a prayer like that will hear from God in strategies. They will find themselves finding the right route, finding people that can help them, because their heart will be turned towards wanting to do things God's way. If that's your heart and you're listening to the program, send up a prayer to the Lord and say, help me, God, to get myself sorted out this year, to find people who will help me, and to get a wise plan. There is marvelous counsel out there that is godly counsel that can really help us. If we just stop and read the scripture and ask for help, it is there. It's there for the taking.
And Stephen, I think maybe many of us may have been in denial about possibly the actual hole that we've gotten ourselves into financially, or we might be in denial about where we place money in our lives, that we actually put a lot more store in our wealth than we should have. So give some advice, and I suppose what the Bible might have to say on the whole area of being honest, and especially in relation to money.
Yeah, I mean, as Hel was just saying, he who walks with the wise men will be wise, and therefore, you know, going to the Lord, who is the most honest of all, is probably the best place to go. You know, that God will help us to be honest with ourselves, because, you know, the reality is, Anna, that we can easily mislead, as you've just indicated, in our own thinking about our own world. It says the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately wicked. We're inclined to stray, think things that are incorrect, and, you know, get carried away with things. And it's important that we're honest, and that we are honest with ourselves, and we're honest with our situation and so on. One of the difficulties with people who are struggling with money is having to face the music and having to be honest with yourself. And therefore, you know, there are really good people out there, by the way. Just I want to comment on this, Anna, while we're on it, who want to help, like MABS, the Money Advice Bureau, which is a government-supported agency, who want to help people who are struggling with financial issues. And sometimes, you know, being honest with ourselves is a really difficult thing to do, to face the fact that, you know, money has run away on us, we're indebted now, we're living beyond our means and so on. But we have to come to the point of reality, because the longer you put it off, the bigger the problem becomes. And we need to be honest with ourselves right from, you know, day one. From now, one needs to say to themselves, look, I have a feeling that my finances are not quite in order. You know, you begin to get find yourself thinking, am I ever going to get out of this? And really, hopefully I can move money from A to B to C, and maybe move borrowings from A to B to C. And really, you're not dealing with the fact that you're living beyond your means. So in a sense, you must be honest with yourself, because the heart is inclined to deny these things and inclined to avoid these issues. And as we were saying a little bit earlier, the issue of debt and problems with money is nothing to do with the amount of money. People who have more money, as I said earlier, tend to have just more debt. Mm-hmm. They have bigger problems and so on. So whether you're rich or poor, it's probably dealing with the same issues. And a lot of it comes back to being content and having a lifestyle that's appropriate to your standard of living and your income. We would really encourage people to, in a sense, to be honest and realistic with themselves.
And as you said, Stephen, it does come back to the heart issue, whether you have vast amounts of debt or just a little debt, whichever it is that you're dealing with. It does come back to our perspective on it and the heart issue again. And getting that right first, I guess, is really what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think to some extent greed was a driving force in Ireland during the noughties, as it's called now, particularly in the middle part of the last decade. And, you know, greed is not a good thing. I mean, it's advocated as greed is good. I mean, foolishly, people have been saying this in the public square and it's been on television. But greed is not good. It leads to destruction. And it's God commands us really to avoid it and not to be greedy. And, you know, pursuing riches that take wings and fly away is absolute folly, and we've seen the consequence of that over the last number of years. And all of that is happening at a macro level, at national level, and at the family level. This is also happening, and it's affecting then all the other issues we've talked about over the last 18 months, Anna, is, you know, relationships between husbands and wives, mm-hmm. parents and children, you know, people who are single struggling to make ends meet, people who are in difficulty relationally. And, you know, the unfortunate fact is that over 70% of people who divorce or whose relationships break down say that money was a major factor in the fact that they got there. And if we don't get our handling of money into its proper perspective and into proper order, and our heart in relation to money right, then we get into trouble. You know, Jesus said, what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his own soul? What good is it if you accumulate maybe in the appearance of vast amounts of wealth and end up losing yourself in the process? And people need to, in a sense, to come back to the Lord, who is our provider and our keeper. And people also need to come back to reality in terms of how they manage their income and their finances today.
I suppose the hardest part, as it is with most things, is taking that first step. And I know that for many people, there's a sense of shame in admitting that we've blown it. But the far greater shame is in not admitting it. Don't forget that our website is full of many helpful resources, many of them free, that can help you and your family thrive. So be sure to stop by www.family.ie. That's family.ie, and we hope you'll stay with us for some practical suggestions on the final segment of today's program as we focus on finances. Welcome once again to family.ie and the conclusion of today's program. You might want to get something to write with or to put them into your computer or mobile device, because we have some more practical tips for you now on how to move forward financially. Back to the discussion with Stephen, Heather and Anna.
I suppose before we go on to ask you about some steps that we can might help us to get debt free, Heather, I just wanted to ask you about giving. I heard somebody speaking recently about being prosperous, and he said, you know, being prosperous is just having enough to give away. And I know we can kind of hold on to that in Ireland, that we are and have been a very giving nation. But I suppose really, you know, just to look at the whole area of giving, because it is important, even though we might be find ourselves lacking in some areas ourselves, it is still important that we have that giving spirit, that we can still give.
Well, it's a funny thing. I can never understand it myself, but it is a funny thing that it seems to me that the more you give away, the more you have. And I was just saying with my husband yesterday, we've given in one particular area, and I just said, I don't understand how the bank balance is as it is, bearing in mind how much we've given in that particular area this year. And that's my testimony, really, is that as God gives me and we give, I just feel that as we do that, somehow or other, God seems to work out the bank balance that it's sufficient. And of course, that's the secret, isn't it, of having sufficient. Because if you've got £1 too little, it's a problem. If you've got £10 too much, you can give it away.
Yeah.
Because you'll still have enough. Mm-hmm. So it's greed, as Stephen said about greed. God has promised to supply all our need. Not all our wants, wishes, desires, greeds. But he has promised to supply all our need. And my testimony is that as I give to others, he absolutely gives to me. And sometimes I can't work out how the bank arrived at that number. I mean, obviously the figures are there to show, but it still seems to me a mystery that the money has stretched when I've given. So I would say to people, if you're not used to giving and you feel you haven't enough to give, try. Mm-hmm. Give a little more and see what God will do, because he loves, the scripture said, God loves a cheerful giver.
Yeah.
When we love people, we bless them. When God loves what you're doing, he will bless your family. There's no doubt about it. Ireland is a nation of giving people. There's no two ways about it. But in our own individual ways, we need to look and find the need and give and bless people out of what we have.
Now, Stephen, just before finishing up, and I know we're going to look at this again when we come back in topic three, there are some simple thoughts I believe that you can share on the whole area of if debt is a problem for somebody today, some tips that you can give them.
Certainly, Anna, and we'll have so much more to say about debt and its consequences for people, which so many people are currently now dealing with, unfortunately. But these are the few steps that Crown Financial Ministries, they have a massive amount of good material for people looking to deal with finances. But the first one is to have some sort of written down plan as to how you're going to manage your money. And secondly, you need to determine what your essentials are for your living, because if you don't know what the key things are that you actually need as opposed to your wants, and maybe beyond that even for your desires for things if you had spare money, then you're not going to be realistic. So you need to know what your essentials are. Third thing in managing debt is to think before you buy. If you didn't have a credit card, then impulse buying would be much less likely to take place than if you have one, because you can just spend it. And if you were forced to take time to think about things that you buy, you may pause and not buy and consequently end up with less money spent and therefore less debt if you're overspending. The fourth thing they recommend is you cut out the credit cards. A fifth thing is to avoid leverage. And the sixth thing is to practice saving. And I mentioned on the program probably, and when we were talking about the finances for Christmas, is that one of the things that we practiced, which we learned from Larry Bouquet, who was the original founder of the Crown Ministries about 20 years ago, one of the things we learned to do was to save from our income every month, which we have done as a matter of policy. And that has enabled us to have some margin, so if there's a rainy day, we have the capacity to deal with that.
So did you write all of those down? It's okay. In case you missed one, I have them here for you. This has been the first in our four-part series called Focus on Finances. And again, the steps that Stephen just mentioned. 1. Write down a plan. 2. Determine essentials. 3. Think before you buy. 4. Cut out credit cards. 5. Avoid leverage. And 6. Practice saving. We'll get into each of those in more detail in the coming episodes. Next time, we'll help with the first of those, assessing where we really are financially.
Rob Parsons, in his book, tells the story of a lady who gets into debt, and a typical of what's happening to a lot of people is that they're living a bit beyond their means, and then the whole thing begins to grow and grow, and the availability of cheap credit through store cards or credit cards and so on, and then you have one credit card and then you need another one and you need another and you get used to spending, and then you begin to get worried and you fall into decline and you get a bit depressed and you sort of say, how am I ever going to deal with this, and the whole thing is accumulating. That is not a good situation, and that can run away and people can be crushed, and we wouldn't want that for the listeners.
That's next time in the second part of our series Focus on Finances. In the meantime, though, for copies of this audio series and many others, free to listen or download for later, we hope you'll head over to our website, family.ie. There you'll find more resources to help you in your family and relationships, including 10 tips for getting out of debt, encouragement for single parents, and this week's marriage tip. While you're there, make sure you see how you can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Again, that's family.ie. I'm Ronan Johnston, and with thanks to Anna Daly, and on behalf of our own Stephen Cardy and Heather Walsh, we thank you for listening and invite you back next time for more. Until then, slán go fóill. Thanks for listening to family.ie, families strengthening families.